KTLK, AM 1150.
AM 1150.
Bigger is better at Carl's Jr.
Hey. Good evening, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, and of course you need machines and pain sponges out there. How are you? We are coming to you live from San Diego State University at the Democracy Fest down in San Diego. Let's hear it, folks. Those are proud Democrats, my friends, progressive Democrats. We're just reveling in the news today that with less than 4 months to the midterm elections, the latest Associated Press Ipsos poll found that Americans, by an almost 3-to-1 margin, hold the GOP-controlled Congress in a low regard and prefer Democrats. And that now, if only we could figure out a plan how to do that, then we're going to get it. Because from what I understand, we're very focused on the idea of a plan that is going to facilitate the changing of the House. Is that right, folks? We're close to having unity. This, you know what's amazing is that when you go to a Democratic or a progressive or a liberal event, just the diversity involved, you don't look like religious fanatics. You actually look like individuals. And it's a real treat to see that. Do you know? It's a tremendous, you know, profound individuality and selfishness that defines us as Democrats and liberals. And if we could just figure out a way to mobilize that, we're going to win. And I believe we will, folks. Let's have another round of applause for Democrats. I would like to point out that this is our last show, Jim. It's weird. I didn't plan it like
this. Our last show?
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is it for the Mark Maron show.
Never in the loop.
Yeah, well, I guess Monday you'll find something to do, won't you? You'll be all right, won't you?
I guess I'll still be here.
You're going to go back to school?
Hey, we got a special guest here. We got Tommy Smothers sitting in the front row there.
You know, it's funny. You picked the one reporter in the crew to take a crap on there, Jim. So.
That's my job.
That's a good call. That's like finding the one bodybuilder going, what are you, a wuss? You know what I mean? Good for you. We are down here at Democracy Fest. We have a good show planned for you tonight. We've got Paul Hackett up in a few minutes. The veteran who ran for Congress in Ohio and didn't win. Then went to... No, don't take that mic yet. I'm not going to say anything bad.
I'm a loser.
Oh, no. You are not a loser.
I lost to a woman.
Oh. No, wait. No, you know what?
I quit the war and I came home early.
Wait, you lost... You lost to a horrendous witch of a Republican.
You don't know Schmidt.
Yeah, you know, I do know that she is something that rhymes with punt. All right, now... Moving on.
I hope my wife's not listening.
You know what? That's funny that women will groan that word even in reference to it, even though you know that she deserves that. You can play her hate in this particular situation. You love it. Okay. Oh, she loves the word punt. Well, that's a rare thing to find a woman that really appreciates that word. I don't know what it means for you to appreciate, but... I have seen the vagina monologues, and I am going to take back my vagina right now. I am going to own my vagina. Also on the show, we have A.J. Croce, the son of Jim, who's a singer-songwriter. He's going to play some music for us in a few minutes, in a little while. Rick Jacobs is here. He's chair of the Courage Campaign, as well as Brave New Films, Robert Greenwald's company. We talked to Robert a lot. They just had a screening here of The Big Buy about Tom DeLay, a very satisfying movie. How satisfying was it to really put movements and faces on all those evil bastards that you've been hearing about or just seen still pictures of in the news? You know, like Caliandro and all the guys that were indicted with DeLay, just to actually see them move as human beings and be able to hate them for every action they take just as people was very satisfying to me. Because you see their names, you see their still pictures. It's not the same as actually seeing them walk and going, oh, he walks like an ass, too. Also, we've got, I hope Mark the Shark is going to be here later. We've got environmental news. We've got, I believe, an Al-Qaeda news as well.
Big business.
It's packed.
It is packed.
It's a packed show.
Now, in a second, what we are doing tonight that we haven't been able to do in a little while is take calls. So 877-520-1150 is the call-in number. We will have Paul Hackett on in the next segment. You can call for to talk to Paul. You can also call to talk to Jim or I, since this will be the last time we are on Air America. It's sort of a sad event for such a positive thing. But you know what I'm realizing, Jim?
No, what? What's
this
that,
is
Mark?
The real case. This is what is happening. It's not about us. It doesn't matter if we're unemployed as long as the Democrats take back the House. Do you understand? They don't care whether we're unemployed or not, Jim.
They'll
get me reemployed. That's terrific. This guy's offering us a job. Really? What do you got, sir? What do you got?
I have four campaign offices in Ventura and Santa Barbara County.
Four campaign offices in Ventura County.
And what's it going to pay us?
Jim, this is not about money.
Hey, I got to survive somehow. I got four illegitimate children.
Oh, my God. You had to bring that up now. Hey, do you have a cot for Jim? And maybe could you feed him at least two meals a day? One and a half meals a day, and you get to fight for the cause, dude.
I don't know. I'm about to go over to the other side, Mark.
Oh, my God.
You know how that is.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a break. We're going to come back with Paul Hackett. We're going to come back with, I forgot to mention another guest. Jack Temption is here. Jack Temption, this man right here, as an entertainer, folks, wrote Peaceful Easy Feeling for the Eagles and Already Gone for the Eagles. And he wrote Smuggler's Blues and Slow Dancing. In other words, never has to work a day in his life. Can just sit and just watch royalty checks come in and have a peaceful, easy feeling, I'm figuring, I guess, right? You're going to play a couple songs for us? Do you have any politically motivated songs? How about some peaceful, nice songs? Oh, good. So that's all to look forward to. We will be back momentarily. Stay with us. Paul Hackett is here.
Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. We're back at Democracy Fest down here in San Diego live with an audience of, there's at least 150 people here, and it's growing. It's unbelievable that at this time of night, this many people would come out just to see a radio show. But I'm telling you, these are pissed off, organized Democrats that we're dealing with here. And then they are organized. You know, I'm being corrected on what I said before. This is it. And tomorrow, there's a whole bevy of things going on. There are panels. David Sirota's around. Robert Greenwald's around. Paul Hackett's going to be here. He's actually here. I don't know why I'm saying that he's not here. He already talked on the mic. So you're right here.
I'm here.
I know.
And I'm leaving if Sirota's here.
No, he's not coming tonight.
Okay.
He's not. He's going to be here tomorrow. Why, you got a problem with Sirota?
Well, I think so.
All right.
If I don't, I can find one.
Well, look, let's just take a couple of calls, and I'm going to give Paul a proper introduction. Patrick, how are you? Where are you calling from? That's working out good. Are you there? All right, great. That's really. I'm glad that went well. Did you address what Patrick had said?
Patrick's statement was profound.
I know it was, and I got to think about it. It's one of those Zen things where you think
absolutely.
You understand it, but it's so dense and simple that you're not sure whether it can. Paul Hackett is a trial lawyer and a veteran of the Iraq War who unsuccessfully ran for Congress from the 2nd District of Ohio against Republican Gene Schmidt. Paul Hackett said he would seek the Democratic nomination in 2006 to challenge incumbent U.S. Senator Mike DeWine, but he dropped out of the race. I think he was probably coerced out of the race.
I'm a quitter.
Oh, come on! But he did drop out of the race. He is now defending one of the Marines implicated in the Haditha, some are calling it a massacre. I don't know if that's the language you're using if you're defending
not exactly.
One of the Marines. But welcome to the show, Paul Hackett.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, before we get into to the law practice, in terms of political activism and being somebody who ran for Democratic office, what do you see your role as now within the party? Honestly.
Mouthpiece, promoter, fundraiser, supporter of Sherrod Brown.
All right. So now you sound
you sound
a little bitter, man. You sound
Look, I'm over it. You know, it's just life.
Can, you want to get personal about it for a minute?
Sure.
All right. Now, when you ran for Senate, when you were planning on running for Senate, were you somewhat schooled? Did somebody come up to you and said, "Dude, this is not your year. It's not your night."
Well. You know, man, I mean, everybody makes such a big deal about this. I was encouraged. I was flattered, but I was encouraged to get into the race.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I got into the race. And then Sherrod got into the race. And it's, you know...
And then you were encouraged to leave the race.
Yeah. And look, I'll confess, I was pretty pissed off about it. But I'm over it. It's just life. It's just life. You know, I wasn't happy about it. I probably didn't handle it the best way. And I'll take the hit for that. You know,
uh-huh.
I wasn't... You know, when I look back... those long 5 months to when I got out of the race, if I had to do it over again, I probably would have handled it a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
but, you know, I was just fired up about it. And now I'm over it. And people don't really believe that, I sense sometimes. But no, I'm really over about it. And I called up Sherrod a little over a week ago. I was literally out cutting my grass.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening to Creedence Clearwater Revival. Uh-huh. And something just hit me. I said, you know what, this is just... BS.
Uh-huh.
I got to get over this. This is just baggage that isn't doing me any good, and it's not doing Sherrod any good.
Uh-huh.
And Sherrod's a good guy.
He's a smart guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And I was just stuck on it, and it just dawned on me, this is not good for me. It's not good for him. It's not good for the party. It's not good for Ohio. It's not good for America. So I got done cleaning off the mower, and I came inside, and I picked up the cell phone, and I called him, and I said, Sherrod? And there was a bit of a pause, and he said, yes. And I said, Paul Hackett. And there was a longer pause.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, listen, I'm just calling to apologize. Let's get beyond this. Let's get over this. You do whatever you want with apology. It's unconditional. I'm not asking for anything, but let's get this right, and let's move forward.
All right. A window of humility.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That was a very grown-up, decent thing to do, man.
Yeah, you know, I have mature moments from time to time.
Yeah, I do, too, yeah. And no one's ever around to witness them.
I know. My wife never gives me credit for them, either.
But, you know, and also, you know, you're young, you're strong, you've got other runs in you.
Yeah, man, I'm middle-aged.
No, you're not, dude. So let's talk about what you're out there. Tomorrow you're going to be speaking tomorrow night with Howard Dean.
Absolutely.
Waters is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Al Franken's going to be there.
Who?
Al Franken. He has a little radio show on this network during the day. Now, what are you telling people when you go out in public? What do Democrats stand for? What are we supposed to be doing?
Well, you know, I never know what I'm going to say until I get up there and start talking.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. Whatever moves me. It's really true.
So let's talk specifics then. Let's talk about where the Democrats are with the Iraq War. I mean, this is something you've experienced firsthand. You know what's going on there. I mean, is it time for all of them to say, look, it's the wrong war. Let's get out. Let's do it.
Hey, look, trying to get the Democrats to all sing off the same sheet of music is like trying to herd cats. So, we're not going to get them all to say the same thing.
But what do you think the right thing to do is?
Well... You know, I mean, I've got my personal view, and I think that is the, you know, if I had the conversation with George Bush, it'd be pretty simple. The war's over. Let's bring him home. And I think the fact that the Democrats are all pretty consistent on that point with differentiations about how we get him home, when we bring him home, I think that's moving the conversation in the right direction. The thing that concerns me is when some of them start to equivocate, say, oh, well, you know, and start adopting some of the pathetic language that guys like George Bush and Karl Rove and Dick Cheney spit out, that obviously concerns me.
Well, I talked to, who did I talk to the other day? I talked to a reporter who spent a lot of time there, and what really becomes a concern to me is that with the sectarian violence, and you experience this, where you've got literally a civil war, it's not the beginnings of a civil war, it's obviously a civil war happening, where Americans it must be hard to even identify a side when you're in the middle of that.
It's not complicated. When they're shooting at you, you know they're not your friends.
Those are the bad guys.
Yeah, it's not like, wait, this guy's shooting at me. Is he a Sunni, a Shiite, or what is he? What motivates him?
So now, let's talk about Haditha, because immediately when this story broke, the left and Democrats, seized on it, and it became a sort of a barometer for how bad the war could get. It became compared to My Lai, and now you're defending them. You're defending one of the Marines.
Right.
So your view of the situation as a soldier and as somebody who's taking the side
right.
on these guys is different. What happened?
Well, I'm quite confident, having spoken to a number of the Marines who were there that day, which was November 19th, 2005, that what took place that day isn't anything close to the way it was described by Congressman.
Which was a payback journey to just blow
totally off. Totally off. Totally off. I mean, here it is in a nutshell. Cliff Notes version, okay? Convoy of Marines was coming back from the southeast of Haditha, dropping off three new Iraqi soldiers at what's known as the combat outpost.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were coming back through the town of Haditha, they were rocked by an IED that killed one of the Marines and seriously injured two of the other Marines. Almost immediately, the entire city erupted into a full-fledged, coordinated attack on all Marines throughout the city who were coming to the center of the city to the aid of this convoy. And that firefight was running through the streets and lasted for hours, which is completely unlike what was described by Congressman Murtha. I actually tried to contact and called Congressman Murtha's office on two separate occasions when this story was beginning to break and he was beginning to comment. And I was going to offer him the opportunity to hear some of these depictions firsthand from some of these Marines that I know and represent, and he declined. And I think he was irresponsible to make some of the statements that he made, because bottom line is they were uninformed, and I think that he did a great disservice to those Marines. I won't speculate what his motivation was. It's neither here nor there to me, other than the fact that he put out very quickly to the American people a completely misinformed description of what took place that day. And make no mistake, what took place that day was a complex, coordinated attack on what started off to be 12 Marines and quickly got whittled down to 9 Marines. And he was just off, and I think he should watch what he says, because people obviously listen to him.
We're talking to Paul Hackett. We will continue talking to Paul Hackett. We're going to try to take some calls. We are live from San Diego. You're listening to the Mark Maron Show. We'll be back in a second.
Get your stream on. Listen live at KTLKAM1150.com.
Dog up. Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. We're here with Paul Hackett. We are here at the Democracy Fest live in San Diego, California, at the San Diego State University campus. A lot of people are hanging around. Harrison is here. He's going to be taking this spot next week, so maybe he'll come on and say a few words. I just saw David Sirota, the author of Hostile Takeover. He might come on and tell us what we need to do. We got a couple calls on the line. Patrick, are you there? Let's try this again. Patrick?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's up, buddy?
No, Mark, how you doing? Hey, Jim, what's going on?
He said, hey, Jim, what's going on? I need to come up in my headset a little bit.
I can barely hear you, Patrick. You need to yell.
It's nice to talk to you guys.
Oh, thanks, man. So what's on your mind, Patrick?
Not much. I just wanted to say thanks for everything. Thanks for, despite all the crap that AAR gave you, for putting the best show on the radio. I got to see the last Morning Sedition live. I couldn't make it out to San Diego, but I'm glad I could at least be on the phone with you.
Oh, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening. Hopefully I'll find you again in the near future.
Stop by Morning Seditionists, and we're always there for you.
Thanks a lot, Patrick. I appreciate
Take care.
It. So we're here with Paul. Now, Paul, let's continue.
Yes.
Let's continue talking about the war, because I think it's important. I think it's an issue that Democrats are kind of divided on, sadly. But if you were in charge,
talk about the war. We have all these other important issues to talk about in America, like flag amendments and gay marriage. I mean, why are you fixated on the war, Mark?
Because
I mean, There's so many other important pressing issues in America today.
Yeah, you're right.
All you damn liberals can do is focus on the negative.
I know,
Let's focus on the positive things
you're
in
right.
America.
Yeah, you're right.
Values.
Right, man.
Values.
Right, we've got to take the
protecting
rights away.
Protecting the sanctity of marriage.
That's right, man. We can't. We got to deny people their rights in order to make
whining,
things right.
Sniveling, crybaby liberals.
All right, but okay, seriously, man. But seriously, I mean, what do you think? What do you think?
What, you think I was joking?
Yeah, half. But I know there's part of you that believes that. But I'm gonna address the other part. I'm gonna address a guy who is in Iraq. What do you think needs to be done? If you were running the thing, what do you think needs to be done?
Pull the plug.
Get out.
Pull the plug
right now.
Yo.
Yeah.
It's not complicated.
Okay, and that means quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to get in there and split the hairs. From a military perspective, for any politician to say, pull the plug in 6 months, pull the plug in a month, pull the plug in whatever, 45 days, I actually have issues with that. What the politician should be doing is driving the policy, and the policy that we should be driving at is bring the troops home, the war is over, they have accomplished all that a military can be asked to accomplish.
Yeah.
And once that gets passed on to the Pentagon, they follow orders, and they're going to tell you whether they can be brought home safely in a month or 2 months or 6 months or whatever. But, you know, it is arbitrary. You know, some people give me heat. They go, well, you sound like President Bush. But, you know, stop and consider. The politicians told the military how to fight this war to begin with, and in part that created some of the problems that we face today in Iraq. And so let the military do what the military does when it comes to planning on the withdrawal, because it's going to be a complicated process. And George Bush, Dick Cheney, John Kerry, whomever, doesn't know if that's going to be a month or 2 months.
Now, okay, so if we move on from the war, if you were running for Senate... If you were king of the world,
yes.
What do you think, in all honesty, what are the most important issues, you know, facing the country if you were to run?
The war in Iraq is the most important, because all of these other issues, social issues, economic issues, none of those issues are going to be honestly addressed until we solve this problem in Iraq, because this problem in Iraq that we're dealing with affects everything else. I mean, it is such an anchor. It's a grist mill around the neck of our economy and our country and our foreign policy. Everything is affected by it. So until this problem is solved, you know, all this other happy stuff ain't going to get taken care of.
What do you mean by solve the problem in Iraq, though?
Getting us home. Yeah.
And what happens to Iraq after that?
Well, that's a problem. I don't think that should be an excuse as to why we can't get out of Iraq. Because, look, here's the reality. Historically speaking, we're leaving Iraq, okay? I can guarantee you. I mean, whether it's this year, next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, we're leaving. The British Empire left. The Turkish Empire left. Everybody who's been there before eventually left.
Yeah.
And each time they were there, they were the most powerful force in the world. Guess what? We're leaving. The question is, are we leaving this year, next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And when we leave, yeah, it's going to be chaotic. But it's already chaotic. It's already civil war. So, you know, at what point do you decide that you've had enough chaos, enough money spent, enough lives spent? When do you reach the point of saturation and come to grips with reality? You're not going to spread democracy at the business end of an M16. You don't win the hearts and minds by killing people. It's a complicated process. This administration and the Democratic Party that facilitated and allowed it to happen thinks that you can do these very complicated things through the appropriate application of a soundbite. It doesn't work that way. Spreading democracy, building nations, is more complicated than going and killing a bunch of people. Ultimately, the war in Iraq is a war of ideas. Ideas are not suppressed or destroyed by killing a quantifiable number of people. You can kill Che Guevara, but what Che Guevara represents to the world is still alive. 40 years after we killed them.
Yeah.
So you can kill al-Zarqawi, you can kill Osama bin Laden. That may be part of the solution, but it's not the solution in and of itself.
What if they just put Saddam back in power?
If ifs and buts were beer and nuts, we'd have a hell of a party. That ain't going to happen. So, you know, what eventually will happen when we leave, and I've got money on it, is the Sunni minority, which I think represents about 20% of the population in Iraq, is eventually going to come back and rule that country. And they've got the institutional and cultural ability to do that.
Really?
It's going to happen.
You really think that?
Oh, yeah.
With the Shia majority and the Shia and the backup in Iran, you think that the Sunni are going to come back?
Yeah.
All right. Well, can you want to bet $20?
Sure.
All right.
I'm shaking on it right here. $20.
Paul Hackett, thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
It was great talking to you.
I'm staying on for David Sirota. Where is he?
He'll be here.
Here, Sirota.
This guy's got something like...
Hey, Sirota.
Are you guys on the same panel tomorrow?
Where are you, Sirota?
I don't know where he went. Are you guys on the same panel tomorrow?
Pencil neck geek.
Hey, are you on the panel with him tomorrow, Paul? Are you on the panel with him tomorrow?
All right, we've already gotten rid of him.
Yeah. I know nothing. All right. Let's take one more call. Do we got King on the line? Hello, King. Are you there? Let's see if we can hear you.
Are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Great. It's King Kong in Taiwan.
Oh, man. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. Just to let you know that you're on the air all over the planet.
Oh, that's exciting. For one more night. For another hour
night.
And a half, I'm on the air all over the planet. Hey, buddy, I appreciate all your support throughout both of the shows. I'm really happy that you were holding up the year end in Taiwan there. And thanks for the box of weird candies.
No trouble.
All right, take care. I'll let you know what I'm doing. Take it easy. How about another call? Zoe, how are you? Zoe, you there?
I'm here. I want to know how the ice cream was.
The ice cream was excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
It's so funny. There's all these people here. They're like, who's he talking to? Who are these people? How do they know him?
Yeah. What in the world?
That was amazing. Yeah, not only did it last, but I actually brought it home, that Grater's ice cream. And there goes the diet. I got 6 points of Grater's ice cream from Ohio.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Zostik is beautiful, honey. Don't worry about it. Look, I just want to say thank you for the ideas and the funny and especially the piss and vinegar that you have given us low these many years. And Pedro says to tell LaFonda hi.
Oh, that's sweet. The cats are talking. Zoe, thank you. You've been like the one of the most amazing fans I've ever known. You take care. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, what's interesting is when you have as small a fan base as I have, you actually know each one of them intimately, which I guess is a good thing. But I'm starting to think I could just run the show from my house. Would that be all right for a pay cut? Could we run it from my house?
Sure, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'm not doing anything the next 5 years.
Okay. We'll be back with Jack Demption, A.J. Croce, Rick Jacobs, and the Al-Qaeda News. Thank you, Paul Hackett. Great seeing
you. Thanks, Jim. Thanks,
Mark. Take it easy. We'll see you in a minute.
Now it's time for this week's disturbing environmental news that'll frighten you, but not enough to really do anything about it.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. Have you ever imagined what life would be like without bladder cancer, anemia, and weird streaks across your fingernails? Well, imagine a world without gold.
Cut! Maron, use the right script, please. That's last week, damn it.
Yes, sir, Mr. Freeport Mines person, sir. Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You know, with all the war, terrorism, and junk like that going on in the world right now, I can't think of a safer financial investment than white slavery. But I'm just not made out to be a pimp. That's why I invest in gold. It's the next best thing to being a pimp, and I don't have to hit girls. We here at Freeport Gold Mines are proud to operate the largest gold mine in the world in a little place called Jakarta, Indonesia. Hey, what kind of name is that anyway? Hey, I ate too much. Give me some milk of Indonesia. Did you know wealth is a natural byproduct of gold mining? Well, so is arsenic. That's why every day we send 700,000 tons of arsenic mine tailings down some remote river through a rainforest where I think it goes into some wetlands or something, and then somebody's lungs. Sound messy? It sure is. That's why before we sell it to you, we clean up your shiny gold so you'll never have to think about all those dirty native peoples walking around on it dressed in penis gourds who were killed by the military dictatorship we helped fund. But why is gold a safe investment, you ask? I'll tell you why. Just shut up and listen already. Arsenic is tasteless, odorless, and takes 14 years to affect the human body. They can't pin anything on us.
Ah! I can't move!
Please stand by.
Hi, this is Mark Maron again. As you can probably tell, due to arsenic poisoning, I am now paralyzed from the eyebrows on down. I'm also anemic, stricken with liver cancer, and half my brain has disintegrated. Thank goodness I had the foresight to invest in gold to help pay off my astronomical medical bills. And now back to this week's refrigerator donut kidney cat blanket.
Air quality continues to worsen in 4 out of 6 categories at Yellowstone National Park. Biologists estimate pollution will kill off the world's coral reefs by the end of the century. And like usual, today another 200,000 acres of rainforest were obliterated to help stuff your fat obtuse faces with hamburgers and steaks. Eat well, barbarians. And that was this week's disturbing environmental news that'll frighten you, but not enough to really do anything about it. Brought to you by...
I like toast. What is love?
All right, the environmental news. Written and constructed by the genius of Jim Earle. Jim Earle, ladies and gentlemen, the amazing satiric mind of Jim Earle, my partner and lover. Oh man, you got to tell everybody.
It's the last show.
Great, there goes my marriage. We got a special caller on the phone. Hello, who's this?
Hi. Yeah. Do you have a producer position open on this show?
Brendan McDonald, how are you, Brendan? Give him a round of applause, even if you don't know him. Hold on, I'm getting you some applause. Brendan McDonald was the original producer of Morning's Edition and the original producer of this show. How are you, buddy?
All right, man. How you guys doing?
We're good. We're in San Diego. We got a crowd of about 900 people here.
Oh, wow. Right there in the 619?
Yeah, down the 619. That's right. So, dude, are you coming back out? We're going to do a podcast out of my garage.
Okay, cool. I'm down with it, and hopefully, you know, we'll get everybody else just sitting there up in the hills there. We'll get Johnny K Street and Lawton, and everyone will just hang out up there in the barrio.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. I'm all for it. Unfortunately, all I can do is provide maybe rice and beans and some plantains, and maybe I'll cook some chicken. No money.
Hey, proletariat. I'm down with it.
So why don't you plug your show? What's the new show you're working on for Air America Radio? They're still in business, right?
I'm a little bit of the religious left. I'll be hanging out with the Reverend Welton Gaddy, and we're doing this show called State of Belief. But beyond that, I just want to say how proud I am of what you guys have done. It sounded great in the last week. It's been a great show, and I'm gonna miss hearing you guys.
Oh, man, thanks a lot. Why don't you just tell Uncle Doug to reach into his pocket and pull out a big bundle of money and make me stay?
No, seriously, you and Jim have come, you know, quite a long way to the point where I feel that there is a real fraternal experience going on there every night.
Excuse me, who is this?
Thanks, Brendan.
Is that little Jimmy Earle?
It's little Jimmy Earle, man.
Well, you know, there's somebody else here who wants to talk to you guys.
Oh, my God, okay.
He wants to wish you well.
Who's that?
Hey, dudes, what's going on?
Dan Pashman. I wish more people here knew you guys. I know you, though. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm good. I actually have to interview the guy who wrote Peaceful Easy Feeling. I'd like to talk to you some more. And if you could just laugh one more time for everybody that loves you. Perfect. I'll call you guys tomorrow, man. Thanks for calling.
That's amazing.
We love you, man. Take it easy.
Okay, Dan.
We're about to interview the guy who wrote Peaceful Easy Feeling, and we just stopped talking to a guy who never gives anybody peaceful, easy feelings.
Exactly. The Eagles, my friends, honestly, were one of the hugest bands ever, whether you like it or not. Our guest lives down here in San Diego, though he thought he'd drop by here. Jack Temption wrote Already Gone, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, Smuggler's Blues, and Slow Dancing for another... Who recorded that one?
Johnny Rivers,
and now he's here with us. Please welcome Jack Temption, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Who doesn't know that song, man? How does it feel to have people just like, I can sing like, peaceful, easy feel. Did you know that would happen?
No, I had no idea.
But you're happy it did, aren't you?
I'm very happy. Actually, the other song, Already Gone, I wrote in this building.
Really?
Yeah, there's a place called The Back Door, and it used to be a folk coffee house. And then in the back of The Back Door, there's a room where they had the giant refrigerators. And that's where Rob Strandlin and I got drunk and wrote Already Gone in about 20 minutes. Yeah.
Was it one of those situations where they're like, hey, you guys are on? And you're like, no, man, we're already gone.
We're almost gone. Yeah, we're already gone. Yeah.
So was that about being wasted?
No, not really. At first, I called it the kiss off.
Yeah,
but then
that's less romantic, I think.
Yeah, less. It's not that.
I don't
romantic
think
that
you know. Well, I'm all. How's it go? Sing it.
Yeah. I'm already gone. I'm feeling strong.
Yeah, you couldn't say I've already kissed you off.
Kiss off. No. Yeah.
Nah, it's not as catchy. No. So how does that work now? So when you write a song like that, and I don't want to be too technical.
They send money. Then I have to shop for barrels. There's certain kind of barrels that'll store the money in such a way.
Come on.
Because if you bury it, it disintegrates. And stuff. So that's. But now I have a new band here. I mean, I've had this band locally here for 10 years called Rocket Science. And we're a subliminal band. We work, most of the music is subliminal because we feel it's a lot of effort for people to have to listen to music. And with our music, you just be there. You
don't is it happening now?
You don't have to listen. You just feel good.
Really?
Yeah. But now we haven't been able to get that on CD, the subliminal part. So
yeah.
Now we finally are able to get some of it on a CD, so we're going to go ahead and record.
But what is subliminal music like? Is it not music at all? It's just someone going, you're listening to music.
It sounds like music. It sounds like normal music, but there's extra subliminal sounds going into your body all the time.
All right, now you're creeping me out, Jeff.
Yeah, and it feels good.
It feels like vibrations? Do we have a sample of that? How long is the piece that we have of Jack's music? How long is it?
Several minutes.
Is this going to do it? Is this a subliminal music?
This will do it. By the time you won't know why you're feeling so good later.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh.
All right. So why don't we play about 45 seconds of this, and then we'll be back with David Sirota, and also we've got Rick Jacobs and much more.
Has opened up its door to the land of dreams. I feel just like I'm flying, like I've never done before. What does this feeling mean? Down along the sand, where underneath the time of stars, see it's not too late. And tonight, I'm learning
today. All right, we'll be back with David Sirota in just a few minutes. We're live in San Diego at the Democracy Fest with 9,000 people. Thank you, Jack Temption.
Now, here's one more hour of LA's Progressive Talk, KTLK AM 1150.
And now he runs on corn oil, Mark Maron.
Yeah, I'm way ahead of the game there. You know, did you notice that they're doing it now another hour? They don't even have the Mark Maron liners anymore.
Oh, man, you're already out.
That's brutal, man.
That's sad.
And now another hour of some guy that doesn't work here anymore. All right, folks, we are back. We're live with what is growing to be 1,000 people now here in San Diego State University for the Democracy Fest.
Thousands.
That was hilarious. It was like, they were like, again? All right, let's go. We can get it going. This is a big deal, though. There's going to be quite a lot of events tomorrow, and tomorrow our next guest is doing a panel. David Sirota, many of you know him as the author of Hostile Takeover. He's a political strategist. He was a top aide to Brian Schweitzer, the first Democrat elected governor of Montana in 16 years. This guy gets people elected, my friends. He was a spokesman for the Democrats on the Appropriations Committee, spokesman for Bernie Sanders. He's here with us. David Sirota, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice to see you again, or talk to you again.
Yes.
I feel like I know you.
Yes.
You're the guy with the answers. You're the guy that's going to, you know, make it all work out. What do we got to do? There's a lot of people need to do it. We want to know what to do.
Boy, that's a
Where do we start? Like me, because I'm going to be unemployed. Okay, I'm unemployed.
Okay.
As of Monday. And I'm walking up to you, David Sirota. I'm like, dude, I really want to help out. What do I do?
What do you do?
Yeah.
If you want to help take the government back, take our country back, my suggestion is pretty not sexy.
Okay.
It is to get involved, get active at the very, very, very local level. Meaning, run for school board.
You want me to run for school board?
Run for school board. Yes, I want you to run for school board. Mark Maron for school board.
All right, so
not gonna work, man.
So what does that guy do? The school board gag.
Well, they deal with the school. The point is, is that the main problem, at least as I lay out in my book, with our government is that it is owned. It is bought and sold. It's very open. It's out in the open that our government is essentially owned. It doesn't work for us. It works for people who have bought the government, and that hostile takeover of our government is far less pronounced at the state and local level. And that the state and local level, in fact, often affects our daily lives on core economic issues as much, if not more, than the national level.
So now, if you start to, because I know that a lot of the right, the religious right specifically, is infiltrated on the local levels and is causing a lot of problems. So if we start coming in on the lower levels, how does that really facilitate change in terms of corporations owning the government?
Well, because if you accept the fact that the hostile takeover of our government, that we're living in the 30th or 35th year of the hostile takeover, then you have to accept that we're not going to take back our whole government in the next election or the election after that. And that means that we have to take the long view and see that today's school board members, today's state legislators, today's dog catchers are tomorrow's congressmen, senators, governors, and presidents. And so we have to get to these people now and say, you will be rewarded for a politics that stands up for us now. And if you don't stand up for us and you sell out, your political career will be cut short very early.
What's worse than selling out is people that just give up. That in terms of, I mean, I see selling out as an option for somebody who's actually in politics.
That's right.
But in terms of actually getting involved on the school board level, it seems to me that a lot of people, that the right has a type of resentment and narrow-mindedness that was fueled by something that happened in the late 60s that has carried them organizationally through to now.
But I think we have an opportunity right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Here's the reason why I think we have an opportunity, because I think that we're living through a slow-motion depression.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at all of the economic statistics right now, layoffs, outsourcing, wages are stagnating, pensions are being cut, healthcare premiums are skyrocketing. Really, you could make an argument that the only distinction in a real way between now and the Great Depression was that the Great Depression was a steep drop-off. Today is a more gradual drop-off. But the point is that we have an opportunity. Every time there is a factory layoff, there are thousands of people who are ready to be educated as to how that layoff has to do with public policies that encourage outsourcing. Every time somebody gets their paycheck cut is an opportunity for us to get to those people and show them how that has to do with a trade policy that undermines people's wages. Every time somebody gets ripped off on their credit card bill, we have an opportunity to show how that has something to do with Congress letting the credit card industry write the bankruptcy bills. So we really have huge amounts of opportunities. And I would say that everybody here in this crowd and listening to this, and you when you go out and you're not doing radio anymore, everybody is on the front lines of this battle to educate people. You're on the front lines when you're talking on the phone to your friend. You're on the front lines when you're at work talking to people at work, educating them, letting them know that there is a connection between what is going on in this country in terms of people's daily economic lives and the public policies being passed in Congress at the state and local level that deal with these issues.
But it's also a matter of getting people out of a kind of victim-oriented surrender. Because there are people that you're talking about that literally say, I'm getting screwed no matter what. Who the hell cares who's in charge? Is to turn that anger around that they've given up and make them believe that the government can work for them.
But what have they given up on? they've given up on, I would argue, they've given up on the leaders that are there now.
Right.
That people really, I don't think necessarily have given up, I hope, on the entire system. They've given up on the system as it exists now. But I think people are eternal optimists in this country. And if you show people real leadership, if people are given real leadership, they will attach to it. I mean, I saw it, for instance, you know, one example in Montana. Here's a state that everyone said no Democrat can win. Everyone's pissed off. It's a Bush state by 60%.
Yeah.
We gave him a real leader, and Governor Schweitzer managed to win that state on an economic populist platform.
And that's true. You have to have the leadership qualities and a certain sense of earnestness and really address the people. But that means we're going to have to get a lot. We got to get rid of almost the entire government, David.
I don't disagree with you. Absolutely.
There's like three guys that are going to be left standing.
That's probably absolutely true. You're absolutely right. We got to throw the bums out.
It's just going to be Russ Feingold and
then Bernie Sanders.
And Bernie Sanders. And then, well, okay, so tell those guys that they got to do that, that they're in charge now.
Well, the problem is, of course, is that those guys won't listen because a lot of them are part of the power structure, both on both sides of the aisle. They're part of the problem. So the only way we're really going to get to deal with that problem is to really vote people out of office. I'll just give you one other example as to how we know that can happen. We got the Ned Lamont, Joe Lieberman example.
That's awesome, isn't it?
It's wonderful. It's terrific. In Montana, again, in my state, there was a Democratic primary. Everybody said the big money candidate was going to win that primary. Everybody in D.C. said they were going to win that primary, and essentially what happened on election night in the primary, the grassroots populist challenger won 61-35. John Tester crushed in that primary. So the idea that people really have power, I think, is getting out there. You see it in the Lamont race. You see it in the Montana primary. You see it in the Montana general election. I'm sure people have other stories in their communities. People are looking for a vehicle to express their outrage. It's up to us to give it to them.
Yeah, for defined people, or if you're a person that can speak to people on that level without being disingenuous or being a politician, that's where it really starts. I think you should sell people. I started to think about this today, that it seems like all the policies you were talking about that are causing this slow depression, that there's really a way to sell that as almost they're trying to kill poor people.
Right. Well, the problem is that the myth is that everything that's going on is a force of nature.
Yeah.
All of this stuff, job outsourcing, low wages, high healthcare premiums, it's a force of nature. The very first thing, and I try to do this in my book, is explain to people in an earnest way that everything we are living through is a deliberate result of deliberate, specific public policy. You don't pass a trade policy that has no labor, environmental, human rights, or workplace rights without having in your mind the deliberate outcome, which is undermine American wages so that corporate profits can explode. That is a deliberate outcome. And so what we have to do, the very first thing we have to do, is show that everything that is going on, all of the economic forces that are crushing ordinary people, are deliberate results of deliberate public policies.
And then I think you're going to have to convince some of these people that the payoff is in heaven. That literally they might be able to change things in this life.
that's right. And I think there's a lot of cynical people out there. But again, I think that people have gotten, it's almost like full circle. When you get so cynical and so desperate, you're willing to glom onto anything. So there's a real opportunity for even sort of, it doesn't even have to be the greatest person ever or the greatest people ever, that the public is so desperate that you can give them somebody who's pretty good. And people will be like, that's our hero.
He should run on that.
There you go.
I'm pretty good. I'm okay.
Right.
I'm a pretty good guy. My family likes me.
It's basically like I'm not like them.
Yeah, exactly. David Sirota, the book is Hostile Takeover, Guy with Answers. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to be back in a minute. We got Rick Jacobs. We got calls. I will take your calls. And just hang in there. We're coming in the second hour. I'll take them within the next half hour. We'll be back in a second on the last mark.
A wise man once said, think for yourself. Progressive Talk, AM 1150.
And now you can't stop taking cheap shots at those 9/11 widows.
Mark Maron.
Is that me? That can't be me. Thank you. We're down here at the San Diego State University for Democracy Fest. We're going to be talking to Rick Jacobs in just a second, chair of the Courage Campaign, as well as Brave New Films chair, Robert Greenwald's company. They just did a screening of The Big Buy here. It was great. But first, we just got a recent dispatch from occasionally we get on the Internet and we go to some of the terrorist websites and we get Al-Qaeda news. And there was one that just came out, so we have that for you.
From across the nation, around the world, and under a burqa, this is Al-Qaeda News with hosts Mohammed and Mahmoud.
I am Mahmoud, and here are a few headlines.
Let's see. Senator Joseph Lieberman may start his own political party.
Does Al-Qaeda care about that?
No one cares about that.
A building blew up in New York. Did we do that?
Well, we could tell everyone that we did. No, it was just a crappy divorce.
Look, we'll skip the rest of the headlines and get to a new part of Al-Qaeda News I'm really looking forward to. The Al-Qaeda News Hollywood Minute.
Okay, first of all, June Allison, the actress, and Syd Barrett, the founder of Pink Floyd, both just died. Yeah, coincidence?
I don't think so! Al-Qaeda is winning!
Country music singer Leanne Rimes needed surgery for a leg infection.
We, the armies of Islam, take credit!
Newhouse News Service calls Johnny Depp the most interesting actor of our times.
Oh, yes, he's good. You know, when I used to see him on 21 Jump Street, I thought, pretty boy, you know. But he's really grown.
Well, we all have to start somewhere. Even Osama had to do bit parts early on.
That's true.
So when you see someone like, for example, let's say Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan? She's a hack.
No, I see a lot of growth potential.
What are you talking about? She's selling acne cream, for God's sake.
Yeah, you see, I knew you would be close-minded.
Well, I'm close-minded. You know nothing about show business.
Hello, this is Osama Bin Laden. If you're looking for good family fun, take the kids to see Nacho Libre. Joe Layden of Variety says Nacho Libre percolates with the same quirky off-centeredness that infused Napoleon.
You are not camera ready.
You see the
and Mark Sarlov of the Austin Chronicle says it's the most soulful and silly Mexican wrestling melodrama of the year. You won't regret seeing Nacho Libre. Oh, and death to you all.
Very mature.
Okay. Well, that's all for us. Next week, Al-Qaeda's take on the Emmys. Until then, I am Mohammed.
Mahmoud.
And remember, our news is bad news.
For you!
The Al-Qaeda news team. Huh? Yeah. I'm not going to tell those guys that none of you laughed at that. I'm going to let it stand at that.
Well, it's hard to hear.
Yeah, I know. Richard Jacobs. Can I call you Rick?
I would prefer that.
Rick Jacobs is co-founder and chair of Brave New Films, as well as chair of the Courage Campaign, an independent political committee on progressive issues here in California. He chaired the presidential campaign of Howard Dean here in California and serves as senior advisor to Democracy for America. He's a featured contributor on the Huffington Post. He paid for our show. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm happy to have been able to do that. I didn't know I did it, but I'm
yeah,
happy.
You did. That's from what I understand. You are the underwriter of my last show.
That's great.
Thank you very much for coming, Rick. Here, get up on the mic there so we can hear you. I love the movie. The Big Buy is a great film. It was very educational. It was interesting because I talked to those guys, and when I interviewed the filmmakers, they were still waiting for the ending. And what a great ending it turned out to be, huh?
We hope it ends that way. You know, this bastard's still going to run again, he thinks.
Well, they have to keep him on the ballot.
Right,
that true?
Which is great news for us because Lampson could win.
Yeah, we thought that was good because it could only be bad if he's still on the ballot.
That is true.
Now, tell me about the Courage Campaign and how it works.
Courage Campaign is an independent committee that we set up a year ago. My colleagues, Suzanne Savage and Steve Jake Fragoso, helped us set it up. And what it is very simply an effort to bring together the progressives in this state to stand up for what we believe in and what we should all believe in. The Democratic Party here as an organization, how will I put this nicely, has certain limitations. We thought after the Dean campaign and after there was a guy named John Kerry ran for president. I don't know if you heard about that.
The tall guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we thought after all that was over, we had hundreds of thousands of people in this state who couldn't do anything if they wanted to be involved in the campaign except leave the state, write a check, or raise money. So what did we do? We thought, well, what are we going to do to keep these people in the system? We put together an entity. that at first we thought would be part of the Democratic Party. Democratic Party didn't like that idea as much as we thought it might, and so we've set this up outside of the party, couragecampaign.org. For example, last year we partnered with Move On in this state to help defeat the ballot initiatives that Governor Schwarzenegger, have you heard of him?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah, big guy. Yeah. Well, he's a big guy, but he's a little guy all
right.
The same time. He's
a funny accent. Yeah.
Some of those things. So we put this together. We partnered with Move On, and we ran an ad last year that will be reminiscent in your mind a little bit of the ad that you've seen about Lieberman and Bush. We did an ad last year called Bush Hearts Schwarzenegger. And it went a little like this. You see, George Bush, he's the president.
Yeah.
George Bush, would people say, he would come to California, and the governor hid from him. It was a little like whack-a-mole. The president would come up, the right. governor would go down.
Yeah.
Well, we thought that was interesting. So we wanted to make clear to people that Bush and Schwarzenegger really do love each other. After all, it was Schwarzenegger who went and campaigned for Bush in Ohio, and it was Schwarzenegger who spoke at the Republican convention about how wonderful it is to grow up like this and be rich. That's what it is to be a Republican.
You don't want people to, you don't want him to be able to pretend like he's a good guy.
No, so we put them together in a little heart, and we said, you know what, they haven't been seen together too much anymore, but let's not forget, they still love each other.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question about this, because there does seem to be sometimes a schism between what the Democratic National Committee or the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee wants and what, you know, like people like you and your organization believe that people really, really need to do. Now, does that cause a friction that is dangerous for the party or no?
No, not at all. It's quite the contrary. I can't speak to what's going on nationally. I mean, I could, but I won't. What's going on in the state is very simple. You have a party structure in this state that brings a lot of good people together, and they do what they do. The reality is that Democratic registration in California is declining very, very rapidly. Republican registration is also declining rapidly, and so is the music. Is that our music?
Yeah, we're gonna talk to you a little more. We're gonna take a break. There was just a problem with time. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna continue with Rick Jacobs. We're gonna turn up the mic so the people out here can hear you. So stay tuned. We're gonna be taking your calls too. I promise. It's a Mark Maron show.
A proud sponsor of AIDS Project Los Angeles, LA's progressive voice, AM 1150.
Guilty as charged. It's all blending together.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Those are starting to get interesting towards the end here. I'm sad that the liner didn't go, and now another few minutes of some guy that'll be unemployed on Monday.
We are talking to Rick Jacobs. He is the chair of the Courage Campaign and of Brave New Films, Robert Greenwald's company. That did Outfox. They did the Walmart movie. They did the Big Buy film, which I just saw, and they got another one coming out called
A Rock for Sale.
A Rock
War
for
Profiteers.
Now that's exciting. That's when is that coming out?
That'll be out with limited theatrical on the 8th of September. The big news about this film, is what it's going to do is it's going to put the war exactly where it belongs, which is number one. It's going to demonstrate what happens in an occupation when a corrupt administration goes out and pays crony capitalists to fight with themselves and do nothing but make money. Here's how it works. If you're a company, if you're a private company, you have one mission, and that's to make money. So what do? You cut corners. You cut corners, you lose lives. So what we see as the Bush administration policy with Halliburton and many other companies that we all know about is a simple effort to line the pockets of very rich people in Houston and elsewhere, and at the same time sacrifice lives in
all
Iraq.
Kinds of lives, American military lives, people who are on those roads that they half built, you know, people who are been gypped out of housing. I mean, all those projects are a lot of them aren't done or half done or done poorly.
Plus, it's endangered the lives of our own soldiers there.
Right.
So it's all profiteering over patriotism. That's what the Bush administration has brought us.
It's fascinating with the two films that you've got coming out with the Big Buy in this film. It becomes very clear that all they've done is that they have made the U.S. government a money laundering front.
I think that's exactly right, and they've done it very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the other thing they've managed to do, which we shouldn't lose sight of as we're looking toward the fall. They've actually managed to make this country the least secure we've been in probably maybe 50 or 60 years.
I feel that.
I mean, look what's going to happen. Look what happens right now where we are. Look, the United States is bogged down in a war in Iraq, And at the same time, you've got a conflagration about to break out in the Middle East. We don't have an army.
Mm-hmm.
What we do have is a lot of very rich companies.
Yeah, see, and I don't and the privatization idea, just it doesn't function properly because greed is always going to get in the way of that. So that makes even more insecurity.
Well, because, again, if you're a company, you want to do one thing.
Cut costs.
Say, yeah, that's right. Look what happened in Fallujah.
Yeah.
They pulled people off of trucks, sent a smaller force in there. People got killed and strung up as a result of American corporate greed.
And they filled those trucks with big boxes of money that has now disappeared.
Did. Yeah, sure did. $9 billion gone.
Yeah. So now what's the website where people can go get all this
Iraqforsale.org.
stuff? Uh-huh.
Iraqforsale.org. We'll be doing house parties starting the 13th of October. I think this film is really in the tradition of what else we've done with Walmart and Outfox. I think this film is really going to explain what the American military complex is all about right now. And this has nothing to do with the army, it has nothing to do with the war. This has to do with people lining their pockets.
Right.
And an administration-sponsored effort to do so.
Awesome. Well, thanks for all the work you're doing, Rick Jacobs. Great talking to you. Thanks a lot. So now, if you'll bear with me, we're going to take a couple of calls from some of my listeners, and then we're going to have Harrison from Harrison on the Edge come on for a few minutes and introduce you to him. If you don't know him from his weekend show, he's going to be taking this slot starting next week. But first, let's talk to Gypsy. Are you there, Gypsy? Hello? Hi, Gypsy.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Gypsy. Gypsy.
This is one of our oldest fans. You'll have to indulge us here. How are you? What's going on?
Well, I wanted to tell you that my dead dog, Tesla, told me to tell you that your dead cat, Butch, wants to know why you're not talking about her anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, I tried, I've gone through the grieving process, and I've had to let Butch go, but I know where her grave is in my backyard, so I have more private conversations with her now.
Okay, because she's still fomenting revolution.
Yes, she is. Gypsy, thanks for being a great fan and being so supportive over these last few years. I appreciate it.
And you make sure that you tell us where we can find you.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jared, are you there?
Here, man.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Is this Jared in Chicago?
Yeah, this is Jared in Chicago.
Dude,
we're losing you twice in the course of 8 months. This is horrible.
I know, it's ridiculous. But there's nothing I can do. I guess there's something I could do about it. I could go back to New York and do the show and eat my pride and not get what I deserve, but I'm not going to do that.
I understand. I don't blame you. I mean, I'm glad that they gave you a voice, and I'm glad I discovered you, and I'm sorry that you don't have that format anymore, that soapbox.
Well, we're gonna find another place. Me and Jim are gonna do a podcast out of the garage. I've already said.
Well, think about doing a show in Chicago between then and.
Not at that theater. Where the hell was I when I saw you?
You're in Aurora.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's Dennis Hastert country. Play a show. You don't know how many people I spoke to. I have cousins, family, people who love your show. It's like, oh, Mark's playing? Where is he? Oh, I'm not going there. Forget it, man.
I heard that I walked like 50 people. Just by talking negatively about the president. They literally got up and walked out. Did you see them walk out?
I saw a few people walk out. But
you're being nice.
My favorite moment was a kid in front who you're talking about being a vet, but he only wanted to treat dogs.
Yeah. All right, man. You take care, Jared.
I love you, Mark.
I love you too, buddy.
All right.
Morgan, how are you? You there, Morgan? I'm sorry if this isn't entertaining to you people, but it's a little closure.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Morgan.
Okay. I just wanted to say there are people that can call in, but just wanted to say hi. Silver Blue Fox, Phoner, Art Norton, Susan Joy, Nikki Rose, Izzy, Electric One, Andy, and so many other ones. You've got to come over to Morning Seditionists and say hi to us, because we have been from the very beginning. We have been your followers and adorers and worshipers, and thank you for turning us on to Jim. And you're just wonderful.
Thank you.
Sad.
That's so nice.
Very sad. Pardon?
Okay. All right. All right.
Thank you.
I love you too. We'll be in touch. That was all our bloggers that she mentioned. I will be in touch. I will come on the thing and do the thing with the buttons and say hi. Janny, are you there? Janny? Hello? Is that it? Okay. Well, thank you all for calling, and we're going to miss you, but we'll be in touch. Right, Jim? You're going to be in touch, right?
Yeah, I'll be working for Rock Honda, point and click.
Oh. Who's there?
Hi.
Jenny? Hi.
Leon?
Yeah.
Hi, Mark. This is a New Yorker.
San
Francisco.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I'm going to miss you so much. I'm sorry this is happening, but thank you for everything. And we're going crazy on the blog.
Yeah.
And don't forget us at Morning Sedition blog.
I'm going to go there. Keep hope alive. We'll see what happens. I'll turn
All
up
right.
somewhere. You guys have been great. Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You really got to go on that.
Yeah.
You really have to go on that blog every once in a while, you know? You're up there in Xanadu, your stately pleasure dome. Pleasure palace. And you just, you know, talk to little people for once.
Yeah, no, I will. I definitely will. And right now, I want to be decent. And if you don't know my next guest, he has a show on weekends at Saturdays, right, from 10 to 2?
2 to 5.
2 to 5.
The other
Harrison
10 to 2.
On the Edge. And he is going to be, it's tomorrow. You're going to do it live here.
That's right.
Awesome. You're going to be doing this spot from 10 to 1 weeknights from here on out.
Well,
when you're not preempted by sporting events. You're going to have to deal with that.
It'll be early and often, I'm sure.
Not the Sparks, though.
I wish it weren't these circumstances. When I heard you were coming to the station, and, you know, I came and said hi.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all so excited, and it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. But you're so talented, so beloved, so funny. Tomorrow, you're going to be doing some incredible stand-up here at Democracy Fest.
Yeah.
People are lining up to see you. You have such a reputation.
That's
Your
nice.
Podcasts are going to fly. They're going to exponentially go all over planet Earth and then have children even and then have stem cells.
Oh, my God. You should move into my house. Can you talk like this to me all the time?
I'm gay. I don't think you want me.
I'm married. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it would be.
So, I'm excited that you're going to get this opportunity, actually, because I know you've been wanting to do this for a while. And ultimately, what's the big plan for Harrison?
Well, let's see. We're going to do it in delicious monophonic sound, AM being one step up from shortwave, especially at that time of night.
Uh-huh.
We're just going to have a little fun, frolic, mayhem, and merriment to basically carry on what you've been doing and try and live up to that standard.
That's great. Then you're going to go to 1 o'clock each morning.
Yes, I can't wait. Ooh, yeah.
You're
Red Bull.
Get the weird listeners at 12:30 going, hey, man, I'm still up.
Well, you know, that's thank God for Red Bull.
Yeah.
And at least there'll be a dose of energy at that hour.
What do you got going on the show tomorrow?
We've got a panoply of players. Did you like that alliteration?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
panoply of players. Alliteration.
Coming on, talking just all manner of democracy. Isn't it funny how we in the United States have to have a ceremony for democracy? I mean, people that don't have it should. Oh, did I just say something?
I don't know.
People that don't have it have to have a democracy fest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really extraordinary.
Well, you know what? I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
You've been a good guy to me, and have a great time with your new show.
And we'll be following you, and we'll putting out the word of where Mark Maron is, which is ubiquitous.
Man. Thank you very much. We'll be back for our last segment, my last segment on Air America. I believe Mark the Shark may make an appearance, and we'll have some closing statements.
Stay with us.
I know. What the hell happened?
Keep it going, man.
I just said, what the hell happened?
All right,
next, Mark Maron.
It's getting a little vague. Hey, here we go. Yeah. We got some hangers on. We got a few left. We can tell some jokes. But I was informed that Joy had hung up, and now it turns out she's on. I feel bad. Joy, are you there?
I am here, my darling.
How are you?
I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm going to miss you so dearly.
Oh.
And I love Jim.
Oh.
Jim,
she loves
hello.
You.
Joy.
Yeah, he's here. Say hi.
Oh, Joy.
Say hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I want everybody to cheer for Mark. I want to hear everyone.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
There we go. And I want to give I want to hear everyone give Joe momentum, the non-love.
Who's that?
Lieberman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's no love. There's a vacuum of love here for Lieberman.
Yeah.
Hey, Joy. Thank you for being
a great fan. Don't turn me off yet. I have been listening to you since you started on Morning Sedition.
Yeah.
And I love you guys. I really do. I, like many of everyone who's on the blog, is absolutely in love with you. We don't want you to leave. We want you to come at least back somehow.
Yeah, I will.
So we can hear you.
I'm gonna work it out.
I'm gonna
you know how I'll do it? Just give me your phone number and I'll call you every night around this time.
That would be great.
I love it.
And
I have a love letter from Mark Maron. But we love you, and we don't want to lose you. And
right.
You're one of the best persons that's ever been on Air America.
Well, thank you so much, Joy. I appreciate it. And I'll keep in touch. I love you, too. Okay. So let me read this email real quick. Here's one from Ted from Nebraska. Hi, Mark. Once again, the liberal media is doomed. They have no values whatsoever. Oh, no, man. I think it's happening. Oh, my God.
And now, from Radio Halliburton, it's America's favorite late-night far-right radio show, Shark and Awe with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good evening, neocons. Radio Halliburton, where the truth hurts. Hey, the shark smells fresh blood, patriots. Somebody's dead in the water. I smell rival talk show host blood. Liberal chum, friends. It's feeding frenzy time. Prepare to be eaten, Mark Maron. Loser, loser, Maron, loser, you're gone, loser, you are gone, loser. Did you really think you could survive on the same radio dial with Mark the Shark, loser?
Game over, man.
Oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, I'm Mark Maron, everything I touch turns to negative ratings. I don't understand, my cats are so interesting, my five bloggers love me, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm going to do a liberal podcast.
Boring.
Hey, let's read an email. Dear Mark the Shark, Maron sucks. Signed, everyone. Guess that explains the ratings. Oh, look, here's another one from Rusty in Waterloo. Dear Mark the Shark, who is this Mark Maron guy anyway? It's like somebody took Mark the Shark and turned it inside out. It's like an intentional parody. Yeah, I've noticed that too, Rusty. Believe me, when Maron's off the air, my lawyers are going to sue him for every last nickel, and that's probably all he's worth. Hey, Maron, Mark the Shark's got a heart. He'll even help you find a new job. I got XM Radio on the phone for you. I think they want to make you an offer. Think you better jump on that one, Maron. No, wait. Here's Sirius Satellite Radio. Hold on a minute. Here's Clear Channel. Don't forget Premiere. Hey, Maron, it sounds like a bidding war. Everyone wants you. I'm going to miss you, Maron, but I'm used to being alone. No, seriously. Let me, the winner, your superior, Mark the Shark, give the Mark Maron Show the send-off it deserves.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Stick around, neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
What happened?
Mark.
What happened? Did I have...
You all right, Mark?
Did I have one of those blackouts again?
I don't know. I was at the 7-Eleven.
I hate when that happens, man. What did I say? Was it weird?
No, really. Actually, you're starting to make sense.
Well, Jim, we're coming up on the last 4 minutes or so of our show here. Is there anything that you want to say in your last broadcast on any sort of Air America connected thing? that isn't too hateful. Do whatever you want.
I just want to say that Rock Honda has the best price you can possibly get on a Honda, and all you got to do, seriously, don't laugh at this. All you got to do is just go to their website and point and click. It's that simple. Hey. Okay, thanks a lot, man.
It's been great working with you, for the last 2.5 years and the last few months.
We'll work again.
We will?
Yeah.
Are we going to do all right?
Yeah, we'll do it again.
We are. You know what? It's weird. I think we are going to end up working in my garage. I think that's true. And what I'd like to say essentially is I would like to thank KTLK for giving me this opportunity. And I'd like to thank Air America for giving me the opportunity to be engaged in this medium. This was new to me 2.5 years ago, despite whatever happened. It happens. But they did give me an opportunity, and no one ever told me what not to say. No one ever told me to shut up. There were no rules at all, which in retrospect might have been one of the reasons why I'm not going to be on the air anymore. But that can't be true. I will be back. I will be back in a format where I can cuss. Let's come back in a format where we can cuss.
Hey, that's fine with me.
Wouldn't that be great?
I have a lot of cussing.
You do? Yeah, all right.
Sure.
Let's do some of these jokes. We've got one more edition of the Short Order News, so we want to make sure you're informed, not caught off guard. Here's your Short Order News for the last Mark Maron Show. Are we going to get music on this, or that's not happening? No music? All right. The Mark Maron Show with Mark Maron and Jim Earl has officially been canceled by the Air America Radio Network for undisclosed reasons. Mark and Jim will go back to their roots looking for work. Just like Soylent Green, farewell. How's that? No? Not a good punchline. How about this? 83-year-old Jim Iriotis, is that how you say it, of the Sioux Falls Canaries, is the oldest pro baseball player in America. Iriotis was disappointed that he didn't hit a home run for little Davey Barrett, who was dying in a nearby hospital at age 68. Nothing, huh? After the game, the commissioner's office investigated Iriotis to see if he was juiced on Centrum Silver.
Huh?
Nothing?
No yeah. juicing.
All right. Yeah. Valerie Plame sued Vice President Dick Cheney, his former top aide, and presidential advisor Karl Rove on Thursday, accusing them and other White House officials of conspiring to destroy her career. Speaking to reporters, a spokesman for Rove called the allegations, quote, absolutely and utterly without merit, adding, and how about that friggin' Mark Maron losing another show? What the hell is up with that, anyways?
Yeah. There you go. There's a short order of news for today.
We got a whole minute left. Man, you know, it's like I've been so pleasant and, you know, I've been, you know, had some humility around this and I've still got a minute. I got to be honest with you, man. This stinks. The whole damn thing stinks. you know what? I need to do something. I want to thank Charlie Amter for booking the show. I want to thank Bill Kolar for producing this show. I want to thank Jim Earle, all the writers, Kevin Kataoka, Ray James, Bruce Cherry, Spencer Dobson, Steve Rosenfeld, all those guys, my wife Mishna. I want to thank Brendan McDonald, certainly, for getting this thing. Yeah, Laughing Andy, we thanked profusely the other day. I just wanted to make sure that you guys got yours. We'll all be working together again out of the garage. All right. Well, thank you for being here at Democracy Fest, San Diego State University. Come on down tomorrow if you want to see me do stand-up or hear a bunch of panels on how we're going to take this country back, which we will. Good night, sheeple.
Revolution rolls on. This is LA's Progressive Talk Station, AM 1150.